welcome to another Domestic Preparedness Podcast interview. Since 1998, DomesticPreparedness.com has published critical solutions for the professional preparedness community. Today's interview is sponsored by EAI Corporation. EAI Corporation has years of expertise centered on CBRNE preparedness and disaster response-related programs that continue to provide total life cycle solutions for today's defense and homeland security challenges. For more information, visit www.eaicorp.com. Domestic Preparedness is in Anniston, Alabama, at the site of the former Fort McClellan. We're very happy to be with Marion Kane, the director of the Department of Homeland Security's Center for Domestic Preparedness. Also today is a double treat since we are joined by Dr. Martha Lavender, Associate Director for Training and Education at the CDP. But let me first introduce Mr. Kane. Marion Kane was assigned to the CDP in 1999 and became director in 2004. He is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the center to include management and supervision of six contractors and a staff of more than 670 personnel. To date, the center has trained more than 310,000 emergency responders from over 3,500 jurisdictions representing all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the four territories. Now, Dr. Martha Lavender has a strong background in education and training with more than 20 years' experience in higher education and outreach education. She is serving as Acting Director of Training and Education for the Center of Domestic Preparedness. In this role, she provides executive oversight and management of emergency responder training programs, which includes both resident and non-resident course delivery, and the only toxic chemical agent training facility for civilian emergency responders in the nation. Previously, she served as the EAI SAIC project manager for the training contractor at the CDP. Mr. Kane, Dr. Lavender, it's a pleasure to be with you.
We're glad to be here. Thank you.
As you know, domestic preparedness readers are first responders nationwide and other homeland security and all hazard professionals. We have many readers who have attended CDP courses, but there are probably others who may be unfamiliar with what the CDP has to offer. Mr. Kane, let's give them the 101. We at DomesticPreparedness.com started in 1998, and so did you, right?
That's right, Marty. We began training in June 1, 1998. We opened the doors and trained our first responder class. As you know, we're located here on the former U.S. Army base at Fort McClellan, Alabama. This property became available to us through the base realignment and closure process in 1995, determined that the U.S. Army Chemical School and Military Police School, which were located here, should be closed and moved to another location. So there was a target of opportunity, and the United States Department of Justice picked up the facilities of the primarily of the U.S. Army Chemical School and turned them into a training facility for the nation's responders. Of course, then in March of 2003, we transferred to the Department of Homeland Security, where we are today.
Great. What's the CDP mission?
Very simply stated, our mission is to provide high-quality, advanced, hands-on preparedness training to the nation's responders.
Now, the CDP goes beyond classroom training. You provide first responders with advanced hands-on training. Tell us how you are equipped for that and give us a few examples.
Sure. First, there's very little didactic training. Most of our training or lecture, there's very little didactic or lecture training. Our emphasis is on scenario-driven, advanced, hands-on training. We actually put pieces of equipment in the responders' hands, and they actually go out and do something with it. I like to tell people that this is not one of those places where an instructor holds up a chemical agent detection monitor and say, hey, class, this is a monitor and this is what it does. But we'll actually put that in the responder's hands. He has to put it into operation and then go out and actually perform a task using that piece of equipment. So we are very unique in that respect. The other thing is to do that, of course, you have to have a very low instructor-to-student ratio. Typically, we have one instructor to 10 students. They are sometimes in the courses of instruction where it's as low as one instructor to 5 students. So we're not talking the basic 1 over 50 or a 1 over 35 type class.
Now, DHS funds all training for responders, meaning local jurisdictions or individuals don't pay. Is that right?
That's correct. All direct costs associated with the training are funded by the Department of Homeland Security through the center. We will transport the responder to the center. While he's here, we'll house him, we'll feed him, we'll train him, and then return him to his home jurisdiction at no cost to him.
Great. Now, who can attend? What are the prerequisites?
Well, essentially, any responder that's employed by a state or local response type agency can attend. Some of our courses have prerequisites. They're located on our website, but they're somewhat limited. We don't have a lot of prerequisites. The other issue is that the students have to be approved by their have to apply through and be approved by their state administrative agency.
Great.
In each state.
How do you determine what courses are taught here?
Well, that's a good question. When we first started, or were in the planning stages for this organization, back in 1996 and 98, there was an extensive series of national-level focus groups with responders from all over the nation. Some of them even were attended by the United States Attorney General at that time, Janet Reno. From this, we determined what our basic core curriculum should be and started training those courses. We get feedback from the students from every course. Of course, responder training requirements have changed substantially since we started in 98. So we're continuously adjusting our courses. And we have focus groups periodically, two or three, four times a year, we'll have different focus groups to get the responders in to find out, well, what's new? Is this class still relevant? Is there something out there that we need to be teaching that we're not teaching? That's how we keep our curriculum current.
I see. Now, what happens when your students complete their training? Do they become certified?
Generally not. Certification is a responsibility we leave to the state and local jurisdiction. We do issue a certificate of training. We have only one course in which we certify students, and that's our instructor training program. If you come and take our one-week instructor training course, then when you leave, you'll have an instructor certification from the Department of Homeland Security.
How often do you offer these WMD training programs? It's rolling throughout the whole year, isn't it?
That's correct, Martin. The majority of our courses are offered once a week, 46 weeks out of the year that we actually conduct training here at the center. We have a few specialty courses that we offer on a monthly basis.
Great. Now, I'm very interested in learning more about your COBRA training facility. Give us a quick download. It's unique. How so?
Well, you're right. It is a very unique facility. The United States Army designed and built that facility in the mid-1980s to provide its chemical warfare specialists and soldiers with an environment where they could train with toxic chemical agents in a controlled environment indoors and actually control what went on in there and have a very safe environment. We were very fortunate in 1999 that facility was transferred from the Department of Army to the Department of Justice and, of course, now subsequently to the Department of Homeland Security. As far as we know, that's the only facility in the world where civilian responders can actually train in a toxic chemical agent environment.
Wow. Let's talk about the levels of CBRNA training. GNT has four levels of training: awareness, performance defensive, performance offensive, and command levels. Give us the details on those, if you would, please.
Well, very simply, awareness training, of course, is the most basic level, and that essentially means that someone who witnesses a WMD or terrorist event has the skills necessary to identify that is a WMD event, take those actions necessary to protect themselves, i.e. generally move out of the area or protect in place, cover in place, and then report that to the proper authorities. The next level up is performance defensive, and these are the actions that you would generally take at a scene to contain the incident or the event so that it doesn't spread. You contain the damage or limit the damage to life and property. The performance offensive is our third level, and it's the most technical of the levels. And this is where you actually learn the skills, where you go into the hot zone and you actually take those actions to mitigate and stop and mitigate the incident. Of course, the command level is for those personnel that are in management positions or would be involved in command at the command post on site or back at the emergency management agency for an event.
Dr. Lavender, is the training at the CDP discipline specific?
We currently offer 22 courses in our curriculum, and a few of those courses are specific to law enforcement and to the hazmat technician. However, if you really look at our menu of courses, the majority of them are very generic and meant to address all 10 responder disciplines. Those 10 responder disciplines are what we consider the traditional four. They include those law enforcement, fire, hazmat, and EMS. But if we look at the broad scope of the 10 now, of course, it includes emergency management professionals, 911 operators, public works, government administrative, public health, and health care.
Is your student responder population evenly distributed among the disciplines?
We actually do train all 10 disciplines here in our programs now. But if we look at just our last year of student population, if you will, the largest percentage actually came from the law enforcement and then followed by fire. And that constituted about 70% of the students that we trained last year.
Wow. How many students have you taught since 1998?
We're very proud of what we've done with our training programs. Since we opened our doors on June 1st, we've trained more than 312,000 students through our training programs. And if we look at just our last year, we trained more than 60,000 students in one of our three modalities. That would include resident training, the training that's actually conducted here at McClellan. We trained just under 11,000, and that was really our capacity based on the dorm space that we have. In our non-resident training or mobile training, we trained over 27,000 students at jurisdictions across the nation. And then we have a train-the-trainer program, and last year we trained over 22,000 students.
Wow. How do you prioritize? Do you have more applying than what can take your courses here?
Well, Marion mentioned it just a moment ago. Our students actually look at our website and what training we have and select what they'd like to have, but frankly, their registration goes through the state administrative agent. And so they actually have to determine who comes to our training based on their training needs and on their state training plan. We have an excellent working relationship with those SAAs, and we work with them to get our students in. Students are allowed to give us three choices, and typically we can meet their dates in their first, second, or third choice. And so typically no one would wait more than 2 to 3 months to attend training at the CDP.
Wow. Well, related to that, I know you have plans for expansion. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, we're very excited about that because, as I told you before, I think we've just about reached our maximum in training here in our center. Just earlier this year, we were able to acquire some additional property that would include 8 buildings on 25 acres here at the center at Fort McClellan. What we intend to do there is to create a scenario-driven state-of-the-art training venue that's very dynamic, can be modified based on the courses that we currently offer and those that we may offer in the future based on emerging threat. Just for example, we have a warehouse space over there that we intend to change to a Union Station. And it will have an underground subway, it will have shops, venues, and restaurants, and will be very much a very realistic setting that includes light, sound, smoke, collapsible walls, lots of technology.
Well, that's all very exciting. I know before you mentioned a website people can go to. Can you give us a little bit more detail on that?
Yes, we encourage everyone to visit our website. It's actually http://cdp.dhs.gov.
Well, that's easy enough for everyone to remember. Well, thank you. Mr. Kane, Dr. Lavender, thanks so much for sharing your time with us. And thanks to you and the CDP for the great work you do for first responders and the nation.
Thank you, Marty.
Thanks, Mark.